was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night folds in on a rising tide. Look beyond the shadows. Behold a pale horse ride.
Everybody, and welcome back to Resurrect the Republic RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. And my name is Lori Anderson, and I will be your host for this evening. As many of you know, we have been reporting and trying to keep everyone up to date as to what is going on with host Tom Lacovara Stewart, who was picked up earlier in December by the federal government. We do know that he was denied bail, and then he was transported to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and then he was moved, and we did not know at that time if he had gotten to Oregon. So what I have done now, and what we have is we have Lori on the line to give us updates as to the new information that is going on with Tom right now and to keep everybody updated. Welcome, Lori. How are you doing tonight?
A lot better, Lori. A lot better.
Glad to hear that. We all have you in our prayers, and we really want to know what is going on with Tom. Is a big twist of events that the listeners are going to get to hear tonight, isn't it?
Yes, some people already know. It's been out on Facebook. That's how I learned about it. Lisa Bundy put a post on Facebook that Tom was in Nevada. This was not where I was told on the route that he was going to go. It's actually a better route than what I had heard. But it's a twist that everybody can assume the government's got some business with him in Nevada, which I have no clue. Mm-hmm. He actually got to meet with Ammon. He's in better spirits, a lot better spirits. Like I said, he's been able to get some word to me, and I have not spoken to Lisa Bundy yet. She knows that we're going to talk now on the show, and I have no idea what she's going to say. Basically, what Tom said, they're probably going to give him charges for Nevada. He does not know, and I'm assuming the same thing. But there are also cases coming up in Nevada that they may want him in on as well. So I have no idea if somebody's pulling him in as a witness or what they're doing. So, you know, assumptions can go crazy, but facts are what's real. So until I get some more information, he's in Nevada now. I did not want to give out his route just because I'm not going to play any games, and I'm not going to give the feds a hard time, and I'm not going to allow for gossip or any monkey business around this. I just don't want monkey business.
Well, innocent until proven guilty, no matter who you are.
Exactly, but on the same hand, respect and honor is what I've always been about. I'm going to give those that act responsibly, don't bash in, beat heads, and make harm come to others. meaning the feds, they have been respectful to this point, even though it's unlawful and illegal what they're doing. I'm going to respect where they have honor, and I'm going to respect the men and women that have honor and not give out some details for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been respectful to everybody around. We're all men and women, and we all woke up to this, and we were on both sides of this issue. Mm-hmm. So respect needs to be given, and I hope everybody is respectful to anybody they do call into and talk to. He's still not on his medications. I don't know how long he's going to be in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why I did not, at his last stop, give out any addresses or anything, because if you send him money and put it on the accounts, you know, it sits, or then it comes back, and then I have to put it back on another account, and I knew he was going to be moving pretty quickly there for a little while. He probably will be at this location, and the address has been given out on Facebook. I'll PM that to you later, Lori, so you can give it at the end of the show if people do want to put some money so he can talk on the phone or get a sweatshirt or something. It is cold in prison.
Uh-huh.
He does get the used things, so if they're available, and we can get him going there. Uh-huh. But that's mainly what I know now. When I talk to Lisa Bundy, maybe she has more information. I do not know.
Uh-huh.
And tomorrow's another day, and anybody that had a shower today, I had my first one in a week and a half, and it's a great thing.
Yeah. A lot of individuals don't realize the situations that we put ourselves through to make sure that they can get informed and educated. And a lot of people would probably have their jaws drop if they knew what we went through to get them the truth.
Uh-huh. But one thing I do want to say is to everybody that's a prepper out there and actually teaches other people skills, thank you. They do work and they do help. And your mental state, as long as you keep a good attitude and laugh at those really nutty things that happen to you, you'll get through it. You'll get through it. So just keep your heads up, guys. And thank you for everybody that's donated. It has helped quite a bit. It's helped keep warm up here when it's freezing. And today's a good day. We'll have some bad days, but today's a good day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, anybody's having a hard day, you are in my prayers.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I fully support anyone, not just, you know, with preparations and stocking up on food, because you never know when the power is going to go out for a week or two. You never know when it's just going to be a natural disaster or anything like that. You need to be prepared just in case. However, on the same note, you also need to know certain survival skills, because those survival skills can not only save your life, but will help to keep you sane, because when you don't have those skills, you tend to panic. And when you do have those skills and you have learned those skills and you teach those skills to your children, they don't panic when a situation comes up where there is, per se, no electricity or no city water, if you will, or whatever the case may be. When they are taught young these skills, you know, it's kind of like you can give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, but you teach a man to fish and he'll eat the rest of his life. You know,
and they have definitely come in handy. And we did have some food set back, and it's been handy. And all those skills, always have a knife. Thank you,
yep.
Larry, wherever you are, for saying if you can't survive without a knife, you ain't gonna survive.
That's
Let
right.
yourself cry when you have to. Find that person you can vent to. Get over it. Have your moment and put a smile on your face and keep going.
Absolutely,
it worked out. It's still rough, but it's going to work out. And Tom's in a much better spirits today. He said basically what they did for a good cause. I agree with a good cause. The way they did it, I don't agree, but
mm-hmm.
here
right.
it is.
Right, because everybody's thinking, because of the situation that went on, you know, that he had court in New Jersey and then was shifted and sitting in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and then is supposed to be headed to Oregon over an Oregon issue, and then he bypasses and now sitting in Nevada. So, you know, I personally, you know, that's a little questionable on that end. However, if it is for a good cause, and, you know, then God knows what he's doing.
Yep.
God knows what he's doing. And we don't always see those things. And you did speak to Tom today, you said, correct?
Just about 15 minutes ago.
Okay. And he is doing better. He is not getting his medications yet, though. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So we'll see what we can do about that. And if the feds who are over there by them are listening to us tonight, we ask that you please, in your heart and in your duty, please make sure Tom gets his medication. He does have Lyme disease, and it can cause a mass number of serious issues, including facial paralysis and heart problems and a whole bunch of different issues. You can look it up by yourself on the CDC site, the long-term effects of it, if it is not treated. So we would ask that you would show compassion to fellow man and give him his medications, in which is absolutely needed.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And everybody, Tom and Lori, of course, still need your help. Please make sure to, if you can even give a dollar, every dollar counts. Every dollar counts. And if you could, you can donate via PayPal. You can send it, the email address for the PayPal is tomlacabara@gmail.com, or you can go to resurrecttherepublic.com and you can go on the right hand side and click on that PayPal donate button, and that will help them out tremendously in order to be able to stay in contact, in order to be able to get warm clothing, as well as hopefully a constitutional attorney. And we don't even know what's going on in Nevada. We don't know right now if there is going to be, is or is not going to be any charges come up in Nevada on Tom. We just don't know at this point, and we are not going to speculate on that end.
Exactly.
Is that pretty much, did I sum that up correctly, Lori?
100% correct.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for keeping us updated, Lori. Anytime you've got something new, be sure to let us know so that we can get it out here to the people and they can stay updated with the Bundy situation. Let us know after you speak to Miss Bundy as well, what she has to say. And you know how to contact me, so we'll leave it at that. Is there anything else you would like to say to everybody before you get off of here?
Just thanks for being there. Stand up at your own city councils, your own school boards. Don't be afraid. Just because this is happening to these guys, don't be afraid to go out and have your voice heard and do what's right and make a better future for our kids. If we don't do it and we let fear bind us, we're not going to get it any better. And those that just want to sit and talk and not walk the walk, hey, let your chains rest lightly. And those that are walking that walk, man, you're in my heart. I know you guys are suffering just like we are. Keep going. Keep going, because there's light at the end of the tunnel. One way or another, we'll see it.
Absolutely. Well, we love you, Lori. Tell Tom when you speak to him again, we love him. And we're continuing to report and trying what we can do on our end to be able to help him as well. And thank you for coming and letting us know what's going on with Tom.
You're welcome. And you guys, bless you all.
God bless you, sweetheart. You have a good night.
You too. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, everybody, you have now heard the interesting information that has come out. Tom did not get transported to Oregon. He got transported to Nevada. No one knows why right now. Lori does not know why. There is no information on that. So we do not know if it's because he is going to be used as a witness. We do not know if it is going to be because there are charges pressed, because he was there to cover the Bundy Ranch situation as well. And as we have seen on numerous occasions, anybody who's an independent investigative journalist or covers issues that doesn't fit the antique mainstream media narrative, and it proves the antique mainstream media wrong by the video proof, then they tend to try to shut those individuals down. And Lori is right. We cannot stop with exposing the truth. And we have to work together to do that. And so until we know what's going on. We can't assume anything. However, we can let you know that as soon as we know anything about Tom, any new information, we will be sure to get that out to you. Now, this evening, I have joined with me Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers. How are you doing tonight, Eric?
Doing pretty well, Lori. How are you doing?
I am hanging in here, dear. It is chilly. Chilly is actually an understatement. Right. It is actually very cold. Yes, it is. It is actually very cold, and I am not a person who likes cold weather, but you know that global warming's heating up so well that it's just unbelievable. So we have also got a guest that we're going to be bringing on in a few minutes. So our listeners know who you are. You are consistently on here with me. Thank you very much for that, by the way. So can you give a little bit of a background of how you know Sheila and a little bit, touch a little bit of base about what is going on, not in full, because I want her to be able to give her aspect of it, but just kind of give everybody a background of how Sheila is a known patriot, by the way, and how and what she has done for people in the United States of America.
Oh man, I can't say enough about Sheila. I've known her for a while. Sheila and I came on not exactly at the same time, but chronologically fairly close. At the very beginning, when there was still a solid organization called the National Liberty Alliance, early on in the days of the NLA, and it seemed to coincide with the rise of the Courtroom Observers group and our identification of the Vicar Generals as being the real power behind the court. Shortly after we started making a big stir and a big expose about the Vicar Generals truly being the power behind your local, state, and federal courts, the National Liberty Alliance, unfortunately, was more or less taken over by the enemy, and the first people to be put out to pasture were Eric from the Courtroom Observers and Sheila, the media director for the National Liberty Alliance. The pattern of what happened was clearly designed to destroy her group in the NLA that she was the director of, and my group that I was the director of, and we were the people who came in and pretty much took over the National Liberty Alliance were the ones who started making the calls, and they said, get rid of Eric and Sheila. And that's how I know Sheila's for real. She was one of the first people to get kicked out of the NLA along with Eric. Sheila's done more to network and get the word out to people when we've had cases where raw public opinion or raw public pressure was the only thing we had, no matter how many brilliant common law documents got filed on behalf of people who would come to the Courtroom Observers looking for assistance. We're not a legal team. We're pretty much just an activist group. But with enough activism, anything can happen in this nation. I'm absolutely convinced of it. It has to be a unified voice. And so, my thing is activism trumps paperwork every time. And so through activism and mass publicity and mass pressure and mass phone calls are things going to get done. And we actually did have an effect on the court. Even the guys who took over the National Liberty Alliance conceded that it was extremely powerful what we were doing. And so anyway, Sheila and I were the first ones to get kicked out. That's how I know she's for real. And Sheila's had her own type of activism going on as well with, I believe, as she calls it, Save the Babies Now. She does all kinds of stuff in the courtroom observing, and she's just she's a really good patriot. Now, Sheila's a black woman who wanted to get her family out of the city and got herself out to a smaller community, kind of out in the country, so to speak, in Newburgh, New York. And before I get into her case, I want to tell people out there that there is a massive purge of patriots and relatives family members of patriots going on right now by the enemy. I've gotten calls from people are coming out of the woodwork, all of a sudden being hassled again, being dragged into the witch's court, having more charges brought up. Look what happened with Tom. He's just one example of what's going on all around the nation right now. They really are trying to take down as many patriots as they can, it seemingly to me, before the administration changes. So, you know, that gives
some
credibility. Don't you agree with that, Lori? You've seen what's going on, and it's
because they've been targeting patriots for the last 8 years pretty darn consistently. But coming up closer towards the transition from Obama to Trump, I would say within the last 4 months, even though I know he wasn't officially, quote-unquote, officially elected 4 months ago, they pretty much knew the feel of what was going on because so many people were showing up to see President-elect Donald Trump. So they pretty much understood the feel of the entire union. And I've seen probably a lot more in the last 4 months as far as really overextending and going after, not just, sometimes they won't go after the individuals, they'll go after the family members because they understand that the individual, you know, it's all in how you can get to them the best. And some people, it's themselves, and other people, it's by targeting their children or their grandchildren, and they have the hopes that if they target their children or their grandchildren, they will stop speaking out. They will stop being active in helping others. They will try to push them and oppress them down in that manner, especially if they have, let's say, say they go after one child and you have, like, several children, you know. They will then go and make the person worry that, well, they're going to go after my other children as well if I continue to speak out. So there's been a lot of pressure, and I would say the last 4 months it's accelerated even more. And we're not surprised. Sadly, their playbook is easy to read. They put it out there for you to read. And the sad thing is too many people don't read them. So I would like to go ahead and I would like to welcome Sheila Burnett to the show. Hi, Sheila. How are you doing this evening?
Hi. How are you? I'm doing okay. Thank you very much for having me.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome, first of all. We want to thank you for the different things that you do and that you have done. Can you give a little bit of history? What is Save the Babies Now about?
Well, actually, when Eric was, you know, telling you about our, you know, and, well, I'll say encounter with NLA, when I was with NLA, I became media director, but then I also started the CPS division because I felt at one point that the organization would be overwhelmed with, you know, other matters. And, you know, there are so many families with kids being kidnapped that I thought that that should be probably a whole separate division. So me and another lady by the name of Gina, we started that division. And so, of course, Eric told you about the, you know, when they came in and Gina and I left, well, we were kicked out. And, well, I wouldn't say kicked out. I think that, you know, we realized at one point what was happening to us, and they didn't think we knew. And so to make a long story short, at that point, Gina and I branched off, and I started a website called Save the Babies Now because we were determined to continue, you know.
Right.
trying
now,
to
is
help
that
families.
Is that SaveTheBabiesNow.com or .org, or where can people go to see that site?
SaveTheBabies.com.
Okay.
Yes. But I, you know, I kind of, I'm still into that. I'm like a piece of pie. I'm just everywhere, you know. I am familiar with a lot of sites. I've been on the internet for the last 10 years. So I kind of indiscreetly got everything thrown at me, not intending to. But once I found out, through different other patriots who were at that time really didn't have an alternative media. Mm-hmm. So I was getting a lot of views on my YouTube channel, and I was a talent scout, and I was just all over the place. I was making videos, and then I started, I guess people, you know, started thinking, well, she's getting a lot of views. She's, you know, I was all over the place. And so let's send her the videos that we can't get out. So that's how I started opening my eyes to everything that was going on. And really, it was so scary because I had a choice to say, okay, well, you built this foundation. And what are you going to do with it? Are you going to just back down and say, well, you know, I'm going to go bury my head in the sand? Or are you going to use it? And so I just started doing that, and I'm here now. Still
right.
Doing it.
Well, thank you very much for doing what you do. So now we have an interesting story for our listeners about what is going on with Sheila on a personal level. I wanted you to get to know Sheila a little bit better before we went into this story. Sheila, you have a very interesting, almost a sickening story, in my opinion, to tell individuals about. So if you would, can you go ahead and just start from the beginning? Just tell us, you know, what's going on.
Okay. Well, about 8 months ago, this is why, you know, what Eric was saying, which, you know, Eric, I just want to put this in as well, is amazing. He's such a true patriot. And I love you to death, Eric. I just wanted to get that in. I'm sorry.
I'll agree with you on that one, Sheila.
Yeah. Well, about 8 months ago, first of all, I felt something because they found my 21-year-old daughter in a hotel room. She had been shot up with a drug, and a person brought her to the hospital, and she died. And no one knows anything, or, you know, but I know how things are working. So now that's the first loss. And I said, okay, well, you know, don't think the worst, just keep going. Now, my son, Jonathan, he has a learning disability.
And how old is he?
At one point, he's 20.
He's 20. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was on Social Security and the whole thing. So he said, you know, he really is a conqueror. He tries so hard. And he said that, you know, Ma, I want to work, you know. And I said, fine. I took him off. He got a job. He graduated. Everyone loves Jonathan. I mean, the biggest smile, good kid. Never been in any kind of trouble. And due to the driving situation right now, he has been taking driver's ed every Saturday. Well, not driver's ed, it's student driver. Trying to learn how to drive so that he could get back and forth to work. We had to take him like 2 hours earlier because we live in a rural area, and he has to kind of, you know, kind of kill time until it's time for him to go to work. Mm-hmm. So he was in Kohl's, and he was shopping for my grandson, mm-hmm. and looking around for Christmas gifts. And then, you know, he went back to work. Mm-hmm. And so...
And does he work at Kohl's? Does he work at Kohl's, or does he work somewhere else?
Well, this is the way it's set up. He works at Applebee's, but Kohl's is right across the street.
Okay, so he was visiting Kohl's, and he was going back to work at Applebee's. Okay, I've got you. I was just making sure that he wasn't... working at Kohl's and on the clock at Kohl's. That's what I was wondering about, just to kind of keep it straight there.
Okay, yes. He stopped in Walmart to get some food from McDonald's, mm-hmm. and he got a milkshake, and he said he sat down, he had like 10 more minutes, and he sat down at the table, and he said he noticed a security guard looking at him and talking into a mic. And he said it was getting kind of annoying, but he was like, you know, kind of, what's up with this guy? So he just, you know, he got up. He had to get back to work. So as he went to walk out the door to go next door to where he actually worked, Applebee's, the security guard stopped him and said, you know, wait a minute. We want to ask you some questions and the whole thing, and he's looking like, you know, what's going on here? Because he frequents in there because of he works right next door.
Right.
So, the police officer pulls up at that point, he says, and then he texts me. He texts me and his dad, and he says, I'm in the back of a police car. And I'm thinking, what the heck is going on? You know, usually a kid hangs out or whatever, and then they call you with something like that. But he was at work. So I couldn't figure it out. So then I had my husband call, and I guess they were talking to him or something, but I was getting dressed to come there. And he calls me, and he says, Ma, they let me go back to work. He says, but they're questioning me about bumping some lady. And I said, are you serious? He says, I am serious, Mom. So he's looking scared to death because this reminds you, this kid has never had an encounter with police at all. And he's, you know, like I said, he has a little disability. So he goes back to work, and the police officer tells him, well, he looked at the video, and he didn't see anything in the video. Or he would have arrested him right there. But he's going to let him go back to work and then just stay by his phone because if he calls, he wants him to come directly into the police department.
Okay, so now I have a quick question before you finish that.
Sure.
A quick question.
Sure.
Okay, you said, and I want to make sure I've got this correct, he was accused of bumping into somebody.
Bumping.
They saw the video, said he didn't bump into somebody. Even if he did bump into somebody, where in the world do they get that they can arrest somebody for that? That is, that what law are they trying to justify using that for?
Especially when the video surveillance evidence from the store just clearly indicated in the policeman's own words, we didn't see anything here. So any furtherance of that matter is malicious prosecution, harassment,
fraud.
Well,
we'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that in a minute. But my thing is this, okay? Bumping into somebody is not a crime. Police officers do that all the time. Regular people do that all the time. If you go to a Trump rally, if you go to a concert, if you go to Walmart on Black Friday, people bump into each other all the time. So what I'm asking is, you know, just to keep in your head, trying to figure out what in the world, where is even in their statutes, if you will, what do they justify charging him with? Because bumping into somebody is not against the law. So anyway, go ahead and finish your story But we'll get into that in a minute, Eric. I've got that stuff pulled up, dear.
Okay. That was what he told him. It was he had bumped into a lady or something. So then my son goes back to work, and now that was Saturday. On Tuesday, he calls my son, and I saw the look on my son's face when
now,
he was talking to
son?
Him. And I
who called your
pardon?
Son? Who called
the
your
officer.
Son?
Officer.
Okay, the
Muse.
Officer.
Yes, officer.
Officer who?
Muse.
Muse. Okay,
go ahead. That's the officer that detained him. And also, he detained him like 20 minutes in back of his car as well before he let him go back to work. So,
okay.
So he calls him. So I took the phone and I said, hello? And he says, yes. He says, I would like your son, of course he asked me who I was, and I told him my name, and he's like, what's your birthday? And I says, well, you know, at this point, that's not necessary. This is going too far as it is, but what do you need? He says, well, I need you to bring him in. We would like to talk with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just said, you know, okay, whatever. You know, mm-hmm. to the point where I need to contact someone first.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. I immediately contact Eric. And
mm-hmm.
then Eric, you know, can take it from there because he called as well. Eric, correct? I believe you talked to the chief. Or I think Eric
I did talk to the chief, yep. I can tell you about that in a minute.
And I directly talked with the chief. And I let the chief know that I had been advised not mm-hmm. to bring my son in and not to mm-hmm. talk to the police because there is also who she is actually real, Judge
mm-hmm.
Anna Von Wright.
Mm-hmm.
I do like a lot of promotion for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called her. And I asked her, I said, you know, what do I do? Because she has some very powerful documents that are out that are just taking
mm-hmm.
all of their authority away. And
mm-hmm.
so she says, don't talk to him. So, you know, at that point, I told him, I said, I was advised by lawful counsel not to speak with you all.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was it. Now the captain says, okay, all right. I said, you know what? You need a warrant. With a wet ink signature,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, we'll see from there. So at that point, a couple of days or a day went by, and I didn't hear anything. And
mm-hmm.
then all of a sudden, he calls my son after I talked with the chief and I explained to the chief that we had been advised not to come in. This
mm-hmm.
officer calls my son, and he says, why didn't you come in? And my son says, well, we were advised not to do that. He says, you better have your rear in the police department tomorrow, or when I come get you, it's going to be really bad for you. So I called the chief back. I left a message saying, you know, your officer, Patrick, and Muse, because I caught Patrick on the phone. And he's asking me, you know, why didn't you bring your son in and all that, and I told him the same thing. So at that point, I let the chief know that they had called and threatened my son, and so that we weren't coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing you know, last night, they came to my door. My son was not here.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks up, and as soon as they walk up, he said, is Jonathan Walker here? I said, no, he is not. He said,
mm-hmm.
do you mind if we come in? I said, do you have a search warrant? He says, no. I says, well, you're not coming in.
Right.
He says, and I said, do you have your oath and bonds? He
mm-hmm.
says, I don't know what that is. I
Are
says,
you
oh,
kidding
really?
Me?
You don't know what that is. I'm not kidding you. He says, I don't know what that is.
Oh, thank you, Joseph.
I said, oh, you don't know what New York officers' public law states, that you need an open bond before 30 days, or else that position you hold is vacant. And I
and
really
have
did. I looked at both of them.
At the time requested.
Right.
You have to be able to produce it.
Well, Eric checked with the chief of police and this officer Muse and this officer Patrick, his last name, I have it written.
Real, hold
here,
on here,
anyway.
Real quick. It's Patrick Cadden, C-A-D-D-E-N,
right.
That C-A-double-D is in David, E-N. And Muse is actually named Musetti or Muselli when I looked into it further. So I want to make sure we get these names as close to as accurate as possible. But getting information out of
right.
these people, even if you're polite and nice and professional, is almost impossible. But I didn't speak with the chief because he wasn't man enough to return my phone call. Some do, mm-hmm. some don't. He did not. But I did leave him a very lengthy choice message, two or three of them. And in one of them, I made it clear to him that I had just spoken with the head of two departments at the county clerk's office, records department and deeds department, just to make sure we were looking under all the, around all the corners. And there was no oath and bond ever filed for chief of police, Donald Campbell. So he's in violation of New York Public Officers Law 30.1.H, which requires the oath and bond filed within 30 days of the beginning of their term, or the position, like Sheila said, is vacant. So all these guys are operating as if it were you or me, Lori, as private individuals in a uniform, as if it were Halloween, destroying people's lives for victimless crimes. This kid didn't do anything, and he's never been in any trouble.
Here's
so I'll
the
turn
thing.
It back to
this
you.
Isn't even a victimless crime, because bumping into somebody's not a crime.
Right.
So,
it's
isn't even a quote-unquote victimless crime, because... There is no, I don't know where they're going to pull that out of their rear
This is actually a crime with a victim. The crime is what the government's doing to Jonathan Walker and Sheila.
Exactly.
And the victim is Jonathan.
Right.
Absolutely.
Now, this, in this situation, though, this person who claimed that he bumped in, was it a female or a male?
A female.
And did she actually make a complaint?
According to them, yes.
Have you seen a copy of the complaint?
No, I have not seen a copy. They will not, even Eric tried. At this point, they will not divulge what the charge is or anything. Mm-hmm. Now, just last night, the officer says, you know, well, he has a warrant. He definitely has a warrant. You need to bring him in. I said, where's the warrant? He had no warrant. He had no paper in his hand whatsoever. So,
that's
you
because
know,
there's it, no, the same, there is no grand jury that would indict this. None.
Well,
they know this.
Well, with
not even statutory brainwashed grand jury would indict this.
Well, the officer that came by my house, this is the same officer that detained him. This guy seems like it's a personal thing because he comes with another officer, mm-hmm. a black officer, and mm-hmm. the black officer is going around to my back door because he looks like he's the type that can run. Like if mm-hmm. my son's going to come out of the side door and run, he had him. But I've never seen an officer personally. And I mean the way he was talking on the porch as though, you know, it was do or life or death. If you don't do this for your son, they're going to pick him up no matter where he goes in New York State. And they're going to arraign him. And I'm looking at him like, well, okay, if he was here right now, what's going to happen when you take him? It's going to happen anyway. So,
well, the officers have already viewed the video, and they've already said there was nothing on the video, so therefore, with them not speaking out and saying they saw the video and nothing was on the video, they were going along with him being framed. If there is even, in fact, a complaint, which you don't know for a fact exists, because they allegedly are not providing it, which is supposed to be public information, by the way. Now, I do have a question. And no disrespect, but does your son have any type of mental disability?
No, not in that way. It's a learning. It was a learning disability.
No, let me say, too, I talked with him several times on the phone. He's fine. He's really nice, very laid back, very humble, very meek. I mean, he's doing as best as he can.
Let me explain what I mean by that. Because they tend, the people who tend to target when it comes to individuals not being able to fight back, they tend to target individuals who have learning disabilities, mental disabilities. And you know, mental disability doesn't mean retarded. It means...
Right.
A learning issue or something like that. They can't comprehend as well as other people, but they are absolutely fine in society and can get along with a great conversation. But when it comes to certain things, they can't process it as well as other people and are easier to set up. And that's what I'm referring to. That's why I was wondering, because these individuals had... From what I understand, now correct me if I am wrong. So these individuals had already talked to you. You had already said he is not coming in. It was lawful counsel had told you not to come in. And they already knew that. So then they're going to call his phone and try to get him to go against the lawful advice of counsel and come in. And I'm wondering if that had anything to do with them knowing or having knowledge of him being having a learning disability and being able to take advantage of that. However, you know, some of the things that I find, you know, this is not, I hate to say this because, you know, but it's the truth. Patriots are being targeted through their children, through their grandchildren, through their family members, and themselves all across the Union. Anybody who is standing up for the people and taking the duty upon themselves to stand up for each and every individual person or the children or whatever the case may be, they are being targeted big time. And what I find amazing is that the officer who's involved with this, or I should say officers who are involved with this, have admitted that there was nothing shown on video. That's first thing. Okay, so with that being said, they know that nothing happened. As if bumping into somebody is against the law in the first place, which it is not. But let's pretend like it was. Okay, we're going to do this fictitious thing here for a second. So if it was illegal to bump into somebody, they have already admitted that there was nothing on the video to back that up. So this person comes in and does a complaint, which the video does not back up. That's called perjury.
And two things that the police officers said that really indicate that this is some kind of setup, or they had more to their agenda than just public safety and that this kid was a threat to somebody. He had asked them once, I think when he was in the back of the police car, am I under arrest? And the cop said, no, but it looks like it's going that way. And he said, well, I thought the video evidence showed I didn't do anything. And the cop said, well, that's true. That's what we saw. We saw nothing happen. But the woman may still pursue this matter. Now, if the evidence clears him, which it clearly did, right? I mean, just look at it. Then anything furtherance of that is on the part of the woman, a criminal activity. She's lying to the police. She's filing a false police report. She's engaged in RICO and harassment and all kinds of other things. It gets into the court, it's malicious prosecution and civil rights deprivations. We could go on and on and on. But there, no, if that video, the cop should have said, case closed, we just saw nothing happen. And by the way, Mrs. So-and-so, whoever you are, who's this woman? Immediately there should be an investigation open on her. What is she doing falsely claiming that this kid bumped into her when he did nothing of the sort? And then what, the cops are going to go along with her still pursuing the matter that never happened?
Well, right, and any New York police officer that is listening to this radio show, I'd appreciate it if you would look up the New York Penal Law of 210.40, the New York Penal Law of 210.45, the also making an apparently sworn false statement in the second degree of 210.35. Also, you can look up your perjury one that is your 210.15. And according to, and this is New York statute, by the way, so under their statutes, because you know they love those statutes, follow those statutes, this woman could face up to 5 years in jail. And it says perjury in the first degree is a Class D felony. It means if you're convicted of the sentence, you could include a prison term of up to 7 years and a probation term of 5 years and payment of substantial fine if your sentence includes probation. Now, this is not just court, okay? This is also, when you look up under these, this includes that them intentionally swearing out a false statement, because if that statement actually exists, which I'm beginning to wonder if it does, because otherwise they would have to produce that. That is public information. It doesn't matter if they have a quote-unquote investigation going on. A sworn statement pouring at, being for the accused, per se, if you will, that is public information. That's not part of a quote-unquote investigation. The videotape would be part of the investigation, not the quote-unquote statement. So the only reason and justification they would have to hold it would be if that female was underage. Was she underage?
No, she was an employee, I think, or someone walking through. I don't know. They keep everything and secretive, but I know she wasn't underage at all. I know
I think she was an employee. She was an employee. When I talked to Jonathan, I think he indicated to me he thought she was an employee. Because he had asked her, "Hey, do you have something for my infant nephew?" And she's like, "No, we don't have anything that small." And he's, "Okay, thanks a lot." He walks away, and then from there, it metastasized into
this bogus false
made-up charge.
Yeah, that's the only one he encountered. But he didn't know anyone else. That was the only one he really encountered. But you know, I believe that it's a setup. I mean, I just truly believe that because the officer that came here. This guy was steaming so badly. When he went to pull off, he stopped the car, got out, and I'm sitting up on my bed, and I'm looking out my window, and I see him walking up to my window with his flashlight. Mm-hmm. And he's looking all in my window with his flashlight, and I said, "Wait a minute. I have no clothes on. Like, what are you doing?" And that's when I said, "I'm going to call Eric." And I got on the phone and I called Eric. Like, and he told me, you know, that he was going to come every day. And
You need to file
and
harassment charges on them.
The first thing that comes that I told Sheila was set up the cameras, multiple cameras, and film everything. This guy's going to be quite famous if you keep throwing it up on YouTube. The first thing that they're going to try to avoid is the cameras that usually makes them stop coming right from the get-go. Just start filming them. They are really deathly afraid of the camera.
Right, and that's not only harassment. That's not only harassment. When you get to a certain level, you can get to the point of stalking.
I would have called 911 and there's two men outside. I said, "There's a man outside my window with a flashlight and a gun." And let the sheriff's department come and ask him what he's doing, harassing the mother of a son who did nothing. They won't even produce the charges. So we're trying to find out. I know people out there are like, "Well, what's he charged with?" We don't know. They're not telling us. They're not showing the warrant. And guess what, people? This is going on in police departments all around the nation. So the police are bringing a lot of this garbage down on their own heads, and it's not, you know, all this finger pointing, "Oh, it's that group hates the cops, and these cop haters, and these anti-law enforcement." Hello, there's not supposed to be law enforcement in a free republic. It's peace officers only. You want to be under law enforcement, go enlist in the military and stay there. God bless you. Go overseas and have at it. I mean, I'm not advocating any more empire building. I'm being kind of flippant. But no, we don't need. If people think that law enforcement is legitimate, it's not. We got away from the term peace officers. This is why it's so important that you do not let the enemy have the language. We're a republic, not a democracy. There's no law enforcement, only peace officers. The state cannot be a victim. It's a fictitious entity. So anyway, back to the story at hand. This is going on all over the nation, and the police are bringing a lot of the ill will that's being put against is justified. I mean, look what they're doing to Sheila. The kid never hurt anybody in his life. He never has been in any trouble. They try to get out of the city and live out into the country, and look what's happening to them at the hands of some tyrannical police department, none of whom have an oath and bond as required by the New York state law. Even the chief, Donald Campbell, failed to produce an oath and bond. It doesn't exist. I checked up and down with both department heads at the county clerk's office, and they assured me they looked hard, and the bond and oath for Campbell doesn't exist. And the law is clear. If they don't file that oath and bond after 30 days after their term begins, that position is vacant, V-A-C-A-N-T. That means they are completely and totally operating as private individuals, destroying this young man's life. And I'll give out some phone numbers in a minute, one or two phone numbers, and a couple of questions in a few minutes.
Sure.
Well,
go ahead.
Also, I'd like to add that they came to his detectives, because Eric also, I guess they transferred it to the Detectives Bureau. And the detectives
came to his
job. What a
waste of taxpayer money.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I just had to say that, because, you know, they can't go out and actually catch real criminals, apparently.
And they showed up at his work. And Sheila was very clear all along. I said, Sheila, tell them he's not coming in. This is what I would do. I'm not giving you advice. Here's what Eric would do. I would not go in there and talk to them unless they can produce you a wet ink warrant, at which time you'll be happy to turn yourself in and deal with it in the witch's court as we have to. Being a fugitive on the lam is not really a solution right now, folks. So at certain times, you're going to have to comply. But we just said, show us the warrant. And they're like, no, we don't have to, we don't want to, they don't have one.
That's because they don't have it. That's because otherwise they would produce it. That's always my theory. If you can't produce it, then you don't have it. Show it to
me. Right. What's the big hype? What are they hiding? Is there some kind of national security letter on this case? And in some ways there is, because I know the direct, I can almost guarantee you that the directive came down from on high, go after all the patriots, now our time is limited. That's what I'm seeing the evidence of from, like I said, people who I haven't spoken to in a year, year and a half, 2 years, their situations was cleared up, it had dissipated, everything had cooled down, and now everybody's coming out of the woodwork saying, oh my God, they're coming after me again for this, that, and everything else that has no victim whatsoever. And this one's really bizarre, because I want to see how the woman is going to justify a complaint against Sheila's son, Jonathan, in total contradiction to the video surveillance from the store.
Well, and a complaint is not a crime anyway. But what we'll do is, everybody, please stay with us. Right after a word from network sponsors, we'll be right back with you and continuing this discussion of the harassment for Sheila Burnett over with her son over this situation. Hang right with us. We'll be right back.
I'm not interested in photo ops.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.